Jeremiah chapter 32. This scripture just has gone over my mind and over my spirit. And I know that there's a lot of discouragement out there, and it needn't be, because we are victorious. We serve a mighty God that cannot be defeated and will not be defeated. And even when it looks like things are going the wrong direction, God can turn the curse into a blessing. Amen. So Jeremiah chapter 32, and we'll just go and see what the Lord has done. But I feel like I know how I want to end this service tonight. And when the time comes, I feel like we need to do a good old-fashioned Jericho march. Now, years ago when I was in the Pentecostal church, and a lot of times over at Spring Hope Pentecostal Holiness with Pastor Elmer Mooring, the glory would fall, and people would walk around. And I don't know if we'll do it tonight just like that. We might do it this side go around. I don't know how we'll do it, but I believe we're going to see some walls come down. Amen. I believe that the walls of Jericho are going to come down. Amen. And I know they look high, and I know they look formidable, but my God is able to do the impossible. Can you say amen? Jeremiah chapter 32, and let's just praise God tonight. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32, if you're there, say amen. Go on, Sister Darnell. You can just delete that other sermon, because we're going to do that next time. Amen. If the Lord leads. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 32. Go on down to verse number 16. And then I realized my preaching Bible is in small print here. So let's go over here to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 16. When I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, saying, verse 17, I, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. Read that out loud with me tonight. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, one translation says there is nothing too difficult for thee. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heaven. You know, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, because of all the prophets of the Old Testament, he had the hardest time. Ezekiel had a hard time. Isaiah definitely had some trials, but nothing can compare to Jeremiah. He was woefully mistreated. His message was completely rejected, and he was brave. He had a spine. He had a backbone, and he would confront the false prophets, and they would all prophesy, hey, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But he had heard a word from the Lord and said, no, you're wrong. I'm right. And he was right, and history proved him right. And they threw him in the muck and the mire, and he's been known as the weeping prophet, and the king arrested him, and then he got rescued by a layman. And I tell you, it's a fascinating life when you look at Jeremiah. And I want you to know that if you think your life is tough, if you think your life has gone through some bad situations, then you just read the book of Jeremiah, and you'll feel like your life's been a picnic. Can I get a witness out there? I just want to know tonight, does anybody have any issues? Come on now. Has anybody have any difficulties? Come on now. Has anybody got some challenges? I know our country is facing challenges like never before. And you say, Brother Ricky, are you worried if Joe Biden gets sworn in? I am very concerned, because I know what direction he wants to take this country. And he's got a diabolical biased from hell news media that turns every truth into a lie and every lie into a truth, and you've got people out there that are just buying it hook, line, and sinker. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. I prophesy great days of revival are coming. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, I know who's on the throne. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched power, and there is nothing too difficult for you. Somebody give him praise here tonight. I said nothing. Now, there's no question we've had 4 years, and I'm believing for the other four, Brother Ray, and I bear witness with that. But I'll tell you, you look at 4 years, and buddy, three Supreme Court justices, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it wasn't an accident that God allowed her to leave this world. She was in her 80s. She lived a long life, and she stood for gay marriage. She stood for the death of babies. I pray in her last moment, she was a Jew. I pray she found the God of Israel. But if not, I fear she is in a place of the doomed and the damned. And it's not my place to judge. But brother and sister, you can't. It's one thing to do sin and commit sin. It's another thing to lead people into sin and to legislate unrighteousness. Woe to them that decree unrighteous decrees. I'll tell you, there is a judgment day coming for Supreme Court justices. And people said, well, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The election's going to the Supreme Court. No. I'm not talking about the one in Washington. I'm talking about the Supreme Court. Somebody give him praise in this. I said nothing. Well, I've got that evangelist anointing on me tonight. Hallelujah, brother and sister. I said nothing is too difficult for you. And what are you worried about? Amen. Ah, Lord God, the declaration. Somebody declare it tonight. I declare to the heavenly realms, to the atmosphere, that there is nothing too difficult for God. It's a force. It's a force working in this world. We are the church of the living God. We have power in prayer, and I am praying that God will uncover the schemes and the machinations of the devil, because this may be a setup for a great breakthrough. It ain't over till it's over. I said, our Lord God, you made the heavens, and there is nothing too hard for you. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. You show your next scripture. You show your faithful love to thousands. Amen. Go to the verse 18. He loves us. Amen. He loves us. I'll read it here. You show your faithful love to thousands, but lay the father's iniquities on their son's laps after them. And you know, there are consequences. He loves us, but there are consequences to sin. And you lay out of church if you want to. Well, I might get there, I might not get there. And if you've got children, you have that attitude, they might not ever go at all. Come on now. I'll never forget, I was pastoring the Bethel Church, Pentecost Owners Church in big, huge town of Bethel, North Carolina. And a kid got crazy one night, and they started chasing him, and I heard sirens, and he was on a motorcycle, and he just needed to pull over. He really wasn't in that much trouble, and man, he must have thought he was watching a James Bond movie. And he zigged and zagged and went all the way up the county line and for an hour or so. And finally, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he went to this bridge, stopped the motorcycle, and jumped off the bridge. Probably planning to swim. Well, you know, that in the movies works. But if you jump off a bridge more than higher than this building here to water, just let me tell you, it ain't the movies, brother, sister. You gone. You dead. You probably going to be dead quick. Sure enough, he hit that water. It took him 2 days to find him because it was a deep river and whatever. And his mother was in the newspaper, and they were crying and like, what happened to my son? And I wanted to do an interview with that mother. And I want to say, Mom, can I ask you a question? Did you take him to Sunday school when he was a little boy? Did you teach him how to obey authority to police officers? Did you ask him about his soul to see if he had given his life to the Lord? Possibly, if you had taken him to church, he might have heard a gospel preacher. He might have gotten saved. And the night he was jumping in the river, he might have been in a prayer meeting somewhere. Now, I know you can bring kids to church and they still backslide from the church, but I'm here to tell you the chances are greater that those who are raised in church, the Bible says that you train up a child in the way that they should go, and your prayers and the word preached, it's going to come back. And friends, there are consequences when we sin. It's in that scripture right there. But I want you to know He's a loving God, and He loves America, and He loves you, and He loves me, but He hates sin, because sin is a reproach, and sin is a rebellion against God. But He will forgive sin. Anybody here tonight forgiven? Oh, Lord God, the greatest thing He did for me was forgive my sins. Come on and give Him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. I said there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. That's a declaration. You need to declare it over your bank account. You need to declare it over your family. You need to declare it over your body. You need to tell it, there's nothing too hard for God. You need to tell your doctor, there's nothing too hard for God. You need to tell your banker, there's nothing too hard for God. Go on and tell the neighbor right next to you, say, there's nothing too hard for my God. Hallelujah. Come on and declare, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Praise God, I am His and He is mine. I'm going to declare that there is nothing too hard for my God. Amen. Even death itself. And we sung, Sister Darnell, I told her yesterday, I said, sing something retro. Everybody know what the word retro means? We had to teach Haley what that word meant last night. Retro, old, oldie goldie. Something that's just pure gold. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng across the glassy sea? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. The only thing we miss is we should have dedicated it to Brother Bud. Amen. Brother Bud Tedder, because I tell you, he has joined and he is over there, and God has, how many miracles has he seen? How many miracles has he been a part of? And praise God. I remember he was just here a few weeks ago. I was up there playing the piano, and it was a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and I looked at Brother Bud, and for a moment I just looked at him. And the thought crossed my mind that one day he won't be at church. One day God's going to call him home. I didn't realize it was going to be the last time. That was the last time I saw him in this world. Thank God the last time I saw him, he was there. And some of you, bless your heart, if your back's hurting, you can't make it. Brother Bud was here. I'm telling you right now, 90 years old. Some of you, you got one sniffle and you better stay home. No, Brother Bud came. Amen. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, somebody didn't shake my hand. Brother Bud was here to shake your hand. Where were you at? Come on now. Oh, Lord God, there's nothing too hard for you. Get on up there and serve God, no matter the pain, no matter the problems, and no matter the situation, because nothing is too difficult for Him. Amen? It's a force. Not only the declaration, but I wrote on this little piece of paper a few days ago, the evidence. You know, when you're in a court, you got to produce evidence. And I pray evidence. We need evidence of voter fraud. Because I tell you, I ain't hearing a lot of people remembering this, and I ain't heard anybody. Now, I'm careful what I watch on TV, but do you remember a year ago in January was the Iowa caucuses, and Bernie Sanders was going to be the Democrat nominee. Wild Bernie, crazy Bernie, I believe is how we call it. The communist himself, take over American economy, give everybody free this, free that, free the other, tax all of the people who are making money, and give to people who aren't making money. That's a real winner, you know? And he was going to win. But what happened in Iowa? The Democrats had a glitch in their voting machine. Do you remember that? And they couldn't determine the winner for a week later. Well, you know, by a week later, it was over with, and it was on to New Hampshire. And Joe Biden was coming in like fifth place. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden gets a little bump in New Hampshire, and they break it even for. And what happened to those votes? They had this fancy voting outfit that paid millions of dollars. And the Democrats, yet none of them could figure out what happened. I can tell you what happened. It was a trial run for election 2020. This is not conspiracy theory. Facebook is probably going to put a little something under this sermon tonight to say that Joe Biden's the winner. Well, I got something for Facebook. God can bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and God can expose the devil. He is the light. And I say, Lord, turn on the light. truth and justice is in the balance, and it's time for the church to realize there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. I wish you'd praise Him tonight and give Him the glory. Now, friend, I'm gonna be honest with you. And you may not agree with me. If it's a fair and square election and the people have spoken truthfully and they want that direction, then we just deal with the consequences. But we cannot, we must not, for the good of every one of us, we must make sure these elections are done correctly. And I remember back in 2016, every time I get on Facebook, it says Joe Biden, the people have spoken, Joe Biden as president. I don't seem to remember those kind of posts in 2016 when Donald Trump won. I never heard the news media say it's time to move on. They never accepted it from day one. They brought investigation. They tried to bring him down, and bless his heart, he stood as the only Republican. I'm about tired of Republicans, by the way, many of them. And like Pastor said, I'm deregistering from the Republicans because I'm a God man. Hallelujah. But thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God that we had a president that appointed three justices and went to the right for life. Somebody say amen here tonight. Our Lord God. And you cannot tell me, you will not tell me, when you read this very prophet Jeremiah, God said, before you were in the womb, I formed you. Psalms 139, you knew me. You wove my parts together in the mother's womb. And you mean to tell me that's in the Bible, and you're going to go to that booth and press for the people who are 100% for the killing of babies? You need to rethink your salvation. That's a good, better word there, Pastor. Thank you. Repent. But nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Amen. Nothing's too difficult. Let the heathen rage. Let the other side steal and win. But God has a work that He's already planning. Can you say amen tonight? I want you to lift your hands and praise Him right now. We worship You, Jesus. Nothing's too difficult in our country. Nothing's too difficult, God. You can turn it around, God. Oh, thank You, Father. We praise You tonight. Oh, glory to Your name. We have the declaration, and we have the evidence. Somebody say the evidence. If you're in a court of law, you've got evidence. Amen. What's some of the evidence? Well, let's find the documentation of the past. Past records shows nothing. It's too hard for the Lord. Oh, Pharaoh was behind, and the Red Sea was in front. And according to mathematics and science and all of that, you can't get 3, 4, 5 million people across the water. You can't even hardly get that many people down I-95. You can't hardly get 300 people. Have you tried to get a bus group of young people to go to the mountains, youth pastor Nate? It's just a challenge for 12 of them here. Amen. But 3 million people, and there's no bridge, and there's no boats, and there's no helicopters, there's no UFOs. There ain't nothing, brother. But there's a God. That's nothing's too difficult for Him. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to declare and we're going to believe. Moses, stretch out your rod. Hallelujah. And God's parted that Red Sea. And I love what the scripture says, Sister Ann Taylor. It said they didn't slosh across in the mug and the mire. God don't want no dirty Christians. Amen. He wants you clean. Hallelujah. He don't want the dirt of this world. They went across on dry ground. Can you say amen? And they went across. And you know what? As soon as they got over, then Pharaoh ran right in there, didn't he? Like a crazy fella. That world, they're going to be their own worst enemy. Amen. You want Joe Biden, you might not like what you get for it. His 4 years is over if he winds up getting it, which I'm praying that he doesn't. Yes, I'm praying that he doesn't. Because he's already publicly declared that he's going to have a deal with Iran. We don't need a deal with Iran. We need to defeat Iran. President Trump, and I'm not all for Trump per se, but I'm just for whoever that person is. And the Shahs, not the Shah, but the Ayatollah Khomeinis that run that place. Did you know Iran, underneath the surface of freedom-loving people, in 1979, Iran was a burgeoning, growing democracy, and we had a Democrat president then, the name of Jimmy Carter, who just let that place fall apart. And I want you to know that we're, you put the pressure on that Iranian regime, and they will topple. We've got to stand firm, and we can't make deals with them. We've got to stand firm. My friend, God, and listen, the world, listen, they may get what they want, and old Pharaoh went to that Red Sea, but that Red Sea came down, hallelujah, and Miriam pulled out some tambourines. I think we ought to do that a little bit, and just shout and dance and praise God, because He is on the throne, and nothing is too difficult for Him. He can open that Red Sea. That's the evidence. Oh, we got evidence, documentation of the past. And oh, I could tell you about the Passover lamb, and all of the firstborn of Egypt was dead, but the firstborn of the children of Israel lived. And you could go on into history of the Bible when the axe head was in the water, and we've got to find that axe head, because it was borrowed, and the prophet said before you knew it, before God got there, listen, an axe head can't float. Now, I know Brother Phillips and them is in Royal Rangers, and I know you guys handle those axe heads. I remember that sermon Pastor Jerry preached over at the old church. My faith grew that night. For those of you that are not familiar with that story, when I was pastoring in this facility, it used to be Living Waters, and Westmoreland was over on Nash Street. We didn't have church one night. So I went over to visit and hear Pastor Jerry, and I guess it was about 2001, 2002, somewhere back there. And you know, there's a little bit smaller, compact sanctuary, and Pastor Jerry had a tomahawk axe, and he was preaching, "Be wise, sharpen the blade." Well, that was the sharpest blade I'd ever seen. And I was sitting about where Brother Ray sitting, and here's Brother Jerry doing this number and shouting and turning around. And I'm telling you, brother, I was praying. 'Cause I thought any moment that tomahawk was going to fly through the air. But we survived, didn't we, Westmoreland? Amen. Nothing is to, you can't get an axe head to float. And sometimes we find ourselves and everything we have is borrowed. Think about that. Hallelujah. I thank God for what my great grandmother gave me, and I don't want to let it sink. Amen. I don't want to let the heritage sink. I don't want to let the American Revolution sink. It wasn't my right. I was given to it, and in a sense, it's borrowed, and everything God gives us is really a loan. You say, "Well, I bless God. I'm gonna use my talent, honey." It's borrowed, amen. It's not yours, and you got to give it back to God. And it's laying at the bottom of the river, and there's where a lot of gifts and talents and a lot of Christians they have lost. They're down at the bottom and no hope. But a man of God said, "Look, there's nothing too difficult for God," and that axe head began to come on up and defy the laws of nature, and it began to float. I want you to know there's evidence that God is a miracle working God. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. I could tell you how the sun stood still and the sundial went back and a virgin conceived, and it's Christmas, and it's all hope is lost, and it's the prophets have been silent. But oh, I tell you, God was on the throne, and He said, "I'm going to send my son." How are you going to send him? In robes of splendor? No, I'm going to put him in the womb of a virgin. I said a virgin, a woman who's never had sexual relations with a man. Because let me tell you, nothing's too hard for God. And He could not be naturally conceived. If He did, He'd have been a sinner like you and me. But we didn't need a sinner to take our sins, because He had His own sins. Praise God, when He came through Mary, not from Mary. And He had no sin nature. And He died on the cross. And nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Go back to, oh, that's biblical history, and Paul and all of those things, and John on the Isle of Patmos, and then the early church and those miracles, and then it waned off, and then God began to raise up great preachers in the church history, and John Wesley. John Wesley, he was on fire for God in the 1700s, and I tell you, he was preaching holiness and how that you have a sanctified life, and not only are you saved, the reformers gave us the doctrine of salvation again, and then John Wesley took it to the next phrase, and that is sanctification, and he'd get people mad at him, and he was at a certain town, and he had his assistant with him, and this crowd was coming to tear him to pieces. I'm talking England now. It was coming to tear him to pieces, and he and his assistant ran into a house and shut the door, and they were banging on the door. And his assistant said to John Wesley, said, "What are we going to do?" And John Wesley said, "We're going to pray." "Is that all? Are you kidding me?" And John Wesley began to pray. The door opened, and they pulled him out in the street. And John Wesley stood up after that prayer, that short prayer, and he began to preach. And God got a hold of that crowd. And within a little bit of time, the crowd that was going to kill him was begging him not to leave. "Tell us more about the..." It's a true story. Ah, Lord God. I said, nothing's too difficult for you. Don't you ever give up. You keep praying. You keep believing. You keep serving. You keep preaching. You keep teaching. There's evidence. Evidence of my great-grandmother when she couldn't walk, but with a walker. And I remember that. We'd go to the store, and I'd sit in the back seat with a walker. And the call came through. We were living in a little house in Rocky Mountain. Call came through, and Mama said, "Granny's been healed, and she wants to talk to you." And I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, and I remember hearing Granny say, "Hey, son, I'm healed. God's healed me." I said, "That's great. That's great." And so when I went to see Granny the next, this is Geneva Joyner. Hallelujah. I keep forgetting Sister Carolyn. She was your, you remember it. Woohoo! Glory. That's right. There you go. There you go. And I remember going to see Granny, and Granny had a chair, you know, her chair that she sat in, and she always was there sitting, and we'd go over there and hug her neck, and we sat down at the other chair, and a little bit later, she had to get up and do something. Well, I always saw her grab the walker and clump, clump, clump across the living room. But when she got up, Brother Philip, out of the chair, it didn't register with me until I saw her walking. It impressed me. I said, "Whoa, there is a God in heaven." Somebody lift your hand and say, "Nothing's too difficult." Brother Schuyler, nothing's too difficult. Brother, you've been planted, and your wife's been planted at Westmoreland. When I sat on that piano this morning and pastor said folks were going to join the church, I knew one couple for sure was going to join. And that was the Murphys. But when I saw Schuyler and Julie walk up, and then I saw Kay Rouse walk up, and did I miss anybody? Wasn't that it? And when I saw you two walk up, because y'all been coming a while, and Brother Schuyler was a member of the Baptist church, I believe. Is that right? And we love Baptists. I love Baptists. Every time I'd see Becky Watson, so her family was Baptist, and if I'd say anything about Baptists in the pulpit, they'd pull me aside and say, "Now, Brother Ricky, you got to be careful. Our family's Baptist." So I got, y'all remember that? Y'all remember, you know, her mom and dad were good Baptists. I love Baptists. Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite preachers, is Baptist, and I love those good on fire Southern Baptist preachers, buddy. They can shuck the corn. They outdo some of our preachers. I hate to say it, but I'm telling you, Brother Schuyler, God's planted you at Westmoreland, and Sister Julia planted you here. You're in the will of the Lord, I feel in my spirit. And now that you're planted, you get ready, because there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. I believe God is going to finish that healing. And I believe that in time to come, He's put the desire in your heart to minister in other places and sing for His glory. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it's going to happen. Somebody say the evidence. Have you got evidence in your life? Markers along the journey? Places where you could say, if it weren't for the Lord. I've told y'all, and I'm going to bring this to a close, because I don't want to preach it out My Aunt Lola taught me, when the Spirit's moving like this, keep it short. Amen. Don't kill it. Amen. Brother, if you'll just come on to the piano, because I want us to close with that Jericho march. Amen. Hallelujah. You forgot about that? You say, well, Brother Ricky, I got a backache or a leg ache. That's all right. Just hop down the aisle if you have to. Amen. I've kind of been a little transparent. Here's the 3 points. The declaration. Nothing's too difficult. Say the declaration. Say point number two, the evidence. And we got the evidence. And then point number three, the experience. I want you to experience a God thing in your life. And I say this because I want to illustrate something that happened to me recently. About 2 years ago, a manager came on staff at where I work at. And there's been 12 managers to come through the store. No manager is perfect. No employee is perfect. This particular manager was just tough. I just put it to you that way. Tough on me, tough on others. The whole atmosphere was like a prison. And listen, let me tell you something. When you have a bad manager or a boss or something, sometimes God uses that to help you. And over the last 2 years, when she would push every button in my sanctified soul, I've had times where I thought I was backslid. In my mind, I would tell her things that I should never repeat and fear that I was not even converted. I'm just being honest with you. Lord, am I really saved? Because this lady has really got under my skin. And then I begin to pray for her because she has a soul and she's a good person, I think, underneath. You know, hurting people have been hurt themselves. So I don't know what childhood she had, but I tell you this. About 2 weeks ago, I just prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, thank you for this manager. And it's helped me to grow. But God, we need relief. This store needs to do something. I don't need to come in every time and walk on eggshells. I need, for your servant, would you just kindly move her on somewhere else? Just move her on. Now, Lord, if you keep her there, that's fine. I'll still work with her. I'll do my best. But God, this isn't really about me growing. This is about the whole store and affecting the whole atmosphere. And I prayed the prayer and I really didn't have a lot of faith because I kind of felt like God was going to keep her there until I got good and sanctified. Amen. All over again. Well, I walked into work last week. And somebody said, did you know? I said, what? So-and-so's gone. And I'm telling you, a wave of glory hit my soul. I was like the woman in War Room. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Buddy, I had a spell right there. I hadn't even seen her because that's how quick she was gone. I say, Lord, bless her and her new assignment. And keep us. Bless and keep her. The Lord watch between me and thee. Amen. Do I hate this person? No. Do I love that person? I love anyone that Christ died for. And I certainly am praying that God used me to maybe reach out to her. And there were times when I will admit that I made mistakes as well. But I'll tell you this, God hears your prayer. And there were times we'd have employees that would walk out the door. They just walk out the door because of her. And I told one or two of them, I said, don't you walk out that door because of her. If you walk out that door because of her, guess what you're going to find down the road at the next job? She's going to be right there waiting for you. Different name. You walk out that door when you're ready to walk out that door. And sure enough, I hadn't walked out that door, but God sent her out the door. Amen. I said, nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Come on and praise Him tonight. What difficulty are you dealing with? What mountain is in your way? Go ahead and stand with me tonight. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Our Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. All together with me. And there is nothing too hard for thee. One more time. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Shout it out. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Come on and sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, it's due. Go on and start marching around. Go ahead. Every praise. Do a lap or two. Every praise. If you feel led, go ahead. Just go on and march. Let's have a Jericho march. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Come on out and join it. Every praise. Come on, the walls. I said the walls of America are coming down. The walls of deceit are coming down. The walls of sickness are coming down. To our God, I said, every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, come on. God, my Savior. Lord, we walk around these walls. God, the glory of the latter house, greater than that of the former. God, you're not finished with us. You've got a plan. God, COVID-19's not going to stop the church. A political party's not going to stop the church. Sickness and disease. Oh, God, bad bosses. Oh, difficult situations. The Red Sea. Oh, God, every praise is to our God. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Oh, every word. Don't you feel the Lord in this house? Hallelujah. Walls are coming down. Oh, every praise to our... Woo! Glory! To our God. Glory, hallelujah. It's due. I'm going to do it one more time. Come on, sister. Yeah, praise God. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God. Come on. Glory, hallelujah. It's to our God. Every praise, oh, hallelujah. It's to our God. Oh, my Savior. God, my Savior. God, oh Lord, as we walk around this church, Lord, God, we thank you for the walls of difficulty are coming down. We thank you, Lord. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Oh, oh, God, my deliverer. Oh, yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Pastor, every praise is to our God. Let Him go one more time. Oh, give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I just have one question for you tonight. Do you feel like you've been to church? Can you imagine what Brother Bud is enjoying tonight? With the celestial, what we've got tonight is just a little bitty drop. Oh, Father, thank you for your grace. We pray for the Tedder family, Lord. God, they've been pillars in this church. Minister to them. And let His family that are not saved follow in His train. Lord, we thank You that nothing is too difficult for You. We put that problem, that difficulty at Your feet tonight. And we respond with faith. And we give You the praise for what You're going to do. It ain't over till it's over. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. God bless you.